Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We're reclaiming stewardship, and God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about this at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. That's stewardship.com. This is your show, America. Email me with your question at chrisonair@stewardship.com or call me at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Call in and we'll talk. A lot of callers have been calling in and talking about student loans and talking about this weight of debt in their life. And well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So we're going to go straight to the phones. Our first caller is here, and we've got Mike calling in from Phoenix. So Mike, how can I help you today?
We are, my wife and I are getting ready to pay off her student loans. She has about $40,000 of student loans that we need to pay. And I had a friend who had suggested that since we are on a little bit of a lower income to apply for food stamps during this payment process. I just want to get some advice, see if that is something that would be appropriate or if we should just kind of try and do the best that we can.
Yeah, what does low income mean? What's your household income?
Last year we made about just over $37,000.
Okay, and that's together or just one of you?
Just myself. My wife doesn't work.
And how many hours a week are you working?
Minimum 40 hours. This summer is our busy season, so we'll probably be averaging about 50 to 60 over the next 3 or 4 months.
Okay. And how much other debt do you have?
We're paying off our car payment and the last of our credit cards this next week, and then we just have the student loan and then our mortgage.
Okay. And how much is on your mortgage?
Mortgage is $143,000.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Mike, what do you think about it? When he offered that suggestion, what sat in your spirit? What were the thoughts that went through your mind?
I don't know. I don't like necessarily signing up for government programs unless I have to.
Mm-hmm.
We did sign up for an access program when my wife gave birth to our second child, just because we couldn't afford the hospital fees. And I don't think that was what my friend was implying. He was implying more of, you know, this is something that can help you free up some money to pay more of your debt off sooner. And I'm very open to that idea if I can, if that's the difference between paying off my wife's student loans, a year or two earlier than what we currently would be able to.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think are some other options?
I don't know. We've been thinking about possibly my wife's really into arts and crafts, and so we've been contemplating about her possibly starting up a little shop that she can sell some of those items on as well. Not sure how quickly that would take off or not, but that's something that if it does go well could provide us a little bit extra boost.
Yeah. Okay, so here's how I would suggest you process this option. I was raised on food stamps. I grew up on welfare, and I can just tell you my experience. And we have listeners right now there are listeners that are listening right now that all over the country who are on welfare. And so I want to be careful the way I communicate this, but in my experience, I experienced my self-dignity and my self-pride. And my confidence and my just overall self-esteem, I noticed that I personally began to think small. I began to just not think outside the box, not think aggressively, not think like a leader when I was on welfare as a child. And I wouldn't wish that upon you. If you've got good health and your wife could possibly work and you could work a little bit more, I think that you would feel a lot more pride and you'd have a lot more, you'd feel like you have more dignity. If you would pay off those loans with hard work, rather than it being provided for you. That's just my take on my experience. And you, I would take a good look at your industry. If you're capped on your income, possibly moving to another industry, or how could you get promoted? I would try to find some other options besides the food stamp option. Only you know if food stamps is your only option, but it sounds to me like maybe sitting down with your wife and looking at some other options first before you go to the food stamp option. Okay?
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call, Mike. All right. Our next caller is Letitia. Letitia's calling in from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Letitia, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. How's life treating you way up there in New Jersey?
Life's treating me great. I wish I was down south, though.
We got great weather today. I'm sure you probably do, too. But certain times of year, I'm sure you're probably struggling up there in New Jersey, aren't you?
Yeah. It's just getting to the good weather. So
Letitia, how can we help you?
Yes. I have a son who has autism, and I am trying to invest for his future. I was wondering if there was a better place other than a 529 or an ESA that I can put money, you know, to, you know, invest in his future needs and things, just in case he doesn't go to college or do any kind of schooling in his future.
And how old is your son?
He's 4.
What's your household income?
My husband and I make approximately $100,000.
All right. And, do you guys currently have any consumer debt?
No, we're all, thank God, we're all debt free as of last month.
Way to go. Congrats.
Yes. So we are, you know, currently, saving for our, fully funded emergency fund. However, it's just kind of looking in the future as to, you know, saving for, you know, I understand that, you know, saving for kids' college and things, but, you know, in my situation, I was just wondering if there was anything better or different that I could do for my son.
Yeah. 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 Well, I let me just push pause for a minute. This is for our listeners. Did you guys hear the relief in Letitia's voice? Did you hear it? Like, Letitia, you just inspired so many people that it is possible to live in this world debt-free and in New Jersey, to live debt-free in New Jersey. And you, I'm telling you, you just, oh, I love that. So good. You've just been an inspiration to so many people. It is possible. Now, back to your question. yes, there are a couple things I'd love you for you to investigate. And one of them is called a special needs trust. A special needs trust. You ever heard of that before?
No, I have not.
Okay. No. So let me give you a little bit more information about a special needs trust. It's so in order to qualify, you must obviously you must meet some stringent standards for this financial, you know, regarding your financial need. And I'd start that application as soon as possible. And what it is a good tool for ensuring that the assets that are set aside for your son, they're managed responsibly and they're not subject to creditors later. Of course, that's not an issue in your scenario, but several types of them, depending upon, you know, who funds them and how they're administered and that kind of thing. So look into an SNT, a special needs trust, and you want to set up a special needs estate plan, first of all. So you're going to, let me retract. You want to set up a special needs estate plan. In there needs to be an SNT, a special needs trust, okay? So in the estate plan, you're going to have that. You're going to talk about benefit assessment. You're going to think about guardianship. All those things need to be pre-decided before we ever have an issue. So have that all done. In addition to that, I would pull out an extra life insurance policy that funds that trust even after you're no longer here. When you graduate to heaven, it would be great to have a life insurance policy that is set up to continue to fund that SNT while you're not here. Those are the two things that term. Yeah, it's just another term. And what you're going to do is, you know, set it up for maybe 30 years and then you want to continue to renew it. So as soon as it comes up, renew it. So it's active when you graduate to heaven. Okay.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and here's the deal. I'd love to point you towards, and I do this often on here and some of you might be tired of me saying this, but I'm telling you this group of people are absolutely amazing. I use them personally, but if you go to stewardship.com and click on the ELP, the link that says ELP, that's our endorsed local providers. We have filtered the best insurance professionals, the best investment professionals, the best for school fundings, for any of these kind of things. We have all of those already filtered with the best in the country in your area. That you can trust, you know, that put the customer service before their commission. So check that out, stewardship.com, and then click on the ELP, and they'll walk you through it. And then, you know, if they happen to, you know, you don't like them, that's fine, but at least it gives you some great options.
Awesome. Okay, great.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps you out, Letitia. And and just congratulations again for being debt-free and being so responsible, trying to take care of your son, even at the tender age of 4 that you're already pre-planning. That is incredible. I love it.
Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Our next caller is Stanley. He's calling in from San Antonio. Stanley, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for holding. How can I help you?
Well, I had a couple questions here. I'm a little young. I'm 22 years old. I don't exactly feel like I have a role model. And I'm a little behind on things like school and a little behind on my car payment. And I'm looking for the guidance. You know, I just need to know what would be the first step on the path to at least excelling in the middle class.
Yeah, well, how much? What's your household income?
Me, right now, I'm making about $24,000 a year.
Okay, and what kind of debt do you have?
Well, I am behind on school, so I owe about $6,000 in school. I have my car payment. I owe about $4,000 on that. I'm a little behind. I also have a 2-year-old daughter, and I'm currently looking for a place to stay.
All right, and what do you do for a living?
I'm a pharmacy benefits manager at Amerisys. Oh. I do claims processing.
Okay, do you like that?
So far, so good. I enjoy the job.
What are you going to college for?
For graphic design.
Okay, and is that something you're really passionate about?
My passion is it's more towards entertainment. And it's not necessarily what I want to do with the rest of my life. But as for right now, I don't have proper guidance. I'm not really sure what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I asked those questions because I would encourage you at 22 years old, you've got options. You've got time and you've got options. And you're not, you know, you're only making $24,000 right now. So with that current income, you could make a leap into the entertainment where you want to be and not even really take much of a financial hit. And you can do that wisely. I wouldn't do it out of nowhere. Make sure you save up some money first before you do that, because if it takes you a few months to get a job, this is not why you called, but I'm just telling you, at 22, what I would do is I would shift over now to where you ultimately want to be, where you want to make sure that you're fulfilled. You're going to find yourself getting trapped into either graphic design or in this pharmacy stuff for 5-6 years and realize, oh shoot, I just wasted 6 years of my life. You don't want to do that. Of course, you're going to pick up on some skills and pick up on some stuff, but you want to get to where you're going to be fulfilled fast. And right now, you have very low risk. Your $10,000 in debt is very low risk. You want to get rid of that as soon as possible, but it's not like you're under the weight of $200,000 in debt already. You're really not in that bad of a spot. And I do agree, you do need a mentor. You do need somebody speaking in your life. You need a third-party voice in your life. Here's the deal. You need what so many people need, and I have needed from time to time for sure, and it's a fresh vision for your life. You need to sit down and spend some time with God. You don't know where you're headed. So I'd sit down, think about your goals. What do you want to do? You've got options. What would be the best case scenario, and go that direction? When it comes to your finances, that's actually a smaller issue right now for what you've told me. That's just live off less than you make, straight up. So if you're making $24,000 a year, you need to find a living situation and a transportation situation that allows you to live off of 18 or 16 and then pay off those debts and get those out of your life. Or, you know, work a little bit more, get a second stream of income and get that up to 48,000 or 36 and get rid of that debt. That is first and foremost. And then after you get rid of that debt, you want to build up a 3 to 6 month emergency fund so that you are ready to go for anything that life throws your way. And then I think you're probably, you know, I would say probably at least a year and a half away from even discussing anything with retirement. And then investigate some ways how you can how you can get in an entertainment arena. And I would not continue to go to school for graphic design if you don't enjoy it. I just think that's crazy. You're young and you got options.
Well, what would you suggest as far as setting up an emergency fund?
Yeah, Stanley, for you, you're looking at you're making $2,000 a month, so you're looking at $6,000 to $12,000. You'll be just fine. But again, don't jump the gun. You don't want to do that until you've got your debt gone. You're doing it for insurance, so you can sleep better at night. So that's what I would do. Money market account, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Much appreciated. I did need a little bit of advice. I felt like I was a little bit lost, but you know, that definitely does help. I at least have something, one thing to look forward to, and I do have a better idea about where to go about doing this.
Good, good. Stanley, we appreciate you calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You have a nice day.
All right, you too. Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Got an email today from Angela from my home state, North Carolina. Says, I'm struggling with tithing off my gross income. I'm just beginning to save for a home and a new car in addition to retirement. It'd be easier to not tithe off my gross, but I also feel that it might not be the right thing to do. I'm conflicted. What should I do? Many of us have probably struggled and wrestled with that in the past, and here's what I would say to Angela. We don't know. We don't know if it should be off gross, and we don't know whether it should be off net. There are theologians out there that think both are right, and so for me, in my household, if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be wrong on the side of too generous. We got to remember what giving is about. And giving is about God, what God wants for us, not what he wants from us. He doesn't need our money. If he did, he could beat us up and take it. So it's not for us. He knows that generous people make the best employees. They make the best husbands and wives. They make the best fathers and mothers. And so he wants us to live a generous life. So for me, I go off gross, and that's what I would recommend as well. All right, and our next caller is Norma. She's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Norma, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my honor. How can I help you?
Well, my parents took out about $50,000 loan, plus loan, so I can, you know, go to school.
Yeah.
They were financially doing well at the time. Now they're not. Since then I've gotten my master's, I have my home. We have about $60,000 in equity. So my husband and I, we've tried to pay off most of our debt. The only thing we have left is our student loans, which equal to $72,000, and our house, which we owe $82,000 on.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are struggling, and I'm trying to figure out if I should refinance to pay off my student loans, that student loan, the $50,000 one they have in my name, or don't refinance, or should I pay the monthly loan, which is like $700 a month. I'm just trying to see what is the best thing to do, trying to use wisdom, trying to be a good daughter, a good steward.
Yeah.
Not sure what to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you seem to be a pretty, pretty sharp individual that's very wise already. So I want to ask you this question. What does your gut tell you?
It's like, I want to help them, but I think that loan is now on default too. Mm. So I don't even know what I'm supposed to, like, my gut tells me to help them, but I don't know how. I don't know whether to pay their rent, pay this loan, or I don't know. I want to help them. I just don't know what's the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, well, you've got two passages of scripture coming to my mind, because I'd want you to do what the Bible says, not what Chris Brown says. And one of them is 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so we got to dive into that one a little bit. Then we have Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So that puts us back to square one, going, what do we do?
Exactly.
And that is your predicament. Here's the deal. It's a tough one. I would want to make sure. Okay, so we're talking about, you've got two different scenarios. Let's kind of remove the complexities and let's kind of break it down to something a little bit more simple.
Okay.
We are dealing with survival and we're dealing with default. And survival obviously is a much more intense importance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got default. So your parents are possibly going to be in a scenario where survival is going to be difficult,
mm-hmm.
where their four walls, we talk about their clothing, their bare necessities of clothing, food, shelter, transportation. If those four things are going to be jeopardized, then I would definitely step in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just the fact that they're in default, then they need to just be paying whatever they can pay. Okay, so there's that scenario from survival versus, and then on your side, you want to make sure that you guys are surviving first before you make any moves. So you got survival. Who is doing better survivor-wise? Now, I think you can honor your father and mother, but it doesn't is not necessarily with finances. You can honor the mess out of them with coaching. Maybe you take an extra job or you cut back on some of your discretionary money, but you're still continuing to pay off those debts for your household. But you're cutting out a lot of your entertainment. You're cutting out some of those personal care expenses. You are cutting and trying to help them financially if you want to. But I don't think you have to slow down the progress in your household in order to help them. I would cut from discretionary fund money in your household to help them. And so you do a little bit of both. But I really think that you're not being wise in your own household if you're slowing down your process. You still need to be kicking that debt in the teeth, mm-hmm. and progressing fast in that scenario. I wouldn't pull any equity. Definitely, I wouldn't pull from any retirement. You really do need to attack that debt. That's your primary responsibility spiritually and fiscally, is to take care of that debt in your own home.
Okay.
While you're doing that, you can love the mess out of your parents. You can honor them. Say, thank you so much for that $50K you put towards my future. I now have a master's degree because of you. I love you so much. How can I help? That doesn't necessarily mean paying their bills for them.
Okay.
And then there's the whole concept of generosity. So, but your generosity needs to pull from your discretionary money. Because when someone does something for you, if they do something for you out of their excess, it doesn't mean as much as if they do something for you. That, for instance, if I go shopping with my wife, okay, it means something to her. But if I go shopping with my wife because I gave up golf, she really, really loves that, because there's an element of sacrifice. So if you're going to give up a family vacation to give your parents $2,000, that's just going to bring you guys so much tighter, and you're going to just be so much more unified. So the answer is not either or, it's both.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you so much for your help.
Sure. Well, another great call that was. Man, we are so honored to take your calls every day here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in the radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service, but in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, and two, check out stewardship.com. So thank you for helping spread the word. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's Chris Brown On Air. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.